Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mole ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
Hey, welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast, everyone. What's up, my friends? This is episode number 195, and I'm your host, Rick Mulready, and I'm here to simplify online marketing strategies for you so that you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business, because that's what it's all about, right? Thanks a lot for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate it. Hope you're having an awesome day, whatever you're up to. So got some amazing news for you that I'm really excited to share with you. I've been really dying to share this with you. I'm going to be a dad. My wife, Amy, is pregnant with our first child, and we're going to have a little girl. She's due in early December, and I could not be more excited about having a kid. This has been such a huge learning experience already on so many different levels, and I'm just so excited to have the opportunity to be a dad. And my dad was the single greatest influence on me in my life, and he passed away when I was 25. He was only 55. He had colon cancer. And so I'm really excited to be able to take that role on of being a dad in my own life. And both Amy and I are so excited about this opportunity. So early December, I'm going to be a dad. I'll keep you updated here on the podcast. So I just want to share that with all of you before we dove in here today. And let's do that. On today's show, we're going to be talking about how to increase conversions through smart website design. That's a, as I'm saying this now, that's a weird transition going from talking about being a dad into increasing conversions with smart website design. But that's what we're going to be talking about here today, how to increase conversions through smart website design. And joining me to share his expertise is Keith Burnson from a digital studio called Sister Agency. Now, I'm having Keith on here because he and his team recently completed an overhaul, a complete redesign of my website over at rickmulready.com. They took it from an embarrassing site. It was my original website that I had from the beginning. And I mean, it went through a couple of iterations, but it was an embarrassing site. It was fine for the first, say, 4 years of the business, but it was time to take things to the next level on the website and just do a lot of different things with it, which we're going to talk about here today. One big thing that I'm super embarrassed about was that the load time on a page for my old site was 13 seconds. That's right, 13 seconds. That's really slow, really bad for Google, really bad for Facebook. And so that was one big thing that we wanted to accomplish with this new site. So we wanted to take it from what it was to a very simple site that was designed for easy navigation, you know, ease of finding content, and focused on conversion. And not only is it important to have your site set up in such a way that it's easy for people to take the action that you want them to take once they get to your site, but it's really critical about that site speed, like I just mentioned, and how fast your site is. And that performance is critical, like I mentioned, not only to Google and search rankings, but it's critical to the success of your Facebook ads. If you're sending traffic from Facebook ads over to your website and it's not a good user experience, meaning it takes a long time for it to load, and somebody clicks on an ad, goes over to your site, it's loading, what are they going to do? They're going to click the back button. And Facebook takes that into account of your overall Facebook profile, if you will. So that can hurt your relevance score, that can hurt the delivery of your ads, the cost of your ads, all of those different things. So I'm going to put some resources in the show notes here for today's episode, which will be at rickmulready.com/195. I'll put up a couple of links so you can test the site speed of your site. And we've been doing this a lot over the past several months, and it will give you different ones that will give you suggestions on what to do to improve that stuff. And I don't recommend, unless you're a web person, don't do it yourself. Have somebody else help you with that. So today we're going to get into the critical elements that go into making your website designed for conversion. We're going to talk about, what role does your target audience play in the design of your website? Why it's important to understand your brand if you want to increase conversions. We're going to talk about why rolling things out really slowly when you redesign your website is very much recommended. We're going to talk about strategies for speeding up your website. What are some suggestions to look for when hiring a site designer? Why your hosting service can have a huge impact on the speed of your site, and thus possibly affecting your relevance score of your Facebook ads. And Keith also shares some free tools that you can use to compress your images that will help increase your site speed. This was a big learning experience for me and my team as we went through this whole process, and really excited to share this stuff here with you today. All this stuff and a whole lot more with Keith. Now, before we jump into it with him, if you'd like to win a 30-minute strategy session with me, I'd love to hear from you over on Facebook Messenger. And all you have to do is give me your feedback on this podcast. Specifically, I'd like to hear what you'd like to hear more of, like topics, guests, style of the show, frequency, length of the show, any ideas that you'd like to share with me. I'd love to hear them from you. So to share your ideas and feedback with me, message me over on Facebook. Just go to rickmulready.com/messenger. That will redirect you right to Messenger, and you can give me your feedback right there. Again, the link is rickmulready.com/messenger. And when you message me there with your ideas and feedback, I'm going to pick one person at random at the end of each month to win a 30-minute strategy call with me. We can talk about your Facebook ads. We can talk about growing your business, online marketing strategy, growing a team, whatever it is that you'd like to talk about, we can cover it in that strategy session. So again, that link is rickmulready.com/messenger. Thank you so much in advance for your feedback. Really appreciate it. And all that feedback I take into account for the podcast planning here going forward. So, all right, my friends, without further ado, let's go hang out with Keith Burnson. So Keith, you're the creative director of a digital studio called Sister.Agency. I understand you recently merged with Harbor, and we did some work with you on our new website, which I'm really excited to talk to you about and have you on the show here. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate it. Yeah, I am the creative director at Sister Agency. We were formerly called Harbor, and we had a sister company underneath our umbrella called Oxen, which did all our production.
Okay.
Yeah, we just kind of saw a niche that a lot of the people we were working with, we were coming in as a service provider as well as like a sister company. So a lot of the agencies or brands we worked with considered us as like a sister company to their, you know, organization or whatever it may be. So we just kind of knew we wanted to simplify our approach, and it was kind of the joke in the office, like, let's just call ourselves Sister. And push came to shove, and I just realized that's perfect. So yeah, we're two have become one, so to speak. And now our kind of like positioning as a company is we're trying to facilitate product companies, influencer brands, as well as agencies as their in-house team to execute certain jobs that see fit.
So when you say certain jobs like that, so like for us, you know, yep. You completely redesigned our website, And correct. You took what, you know, the abomination was that was from my original website that I had from the very beginning, and you've completely upgraded it. We're going to get into all of that. But is that, obviously, that's one thing that you guys do. Is there other stuff that you guys do as a digital studio?
Yeah, for sure. We still love kind of like to do those soup to nuts projects. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we see a bigger fit for certain things, too. Like, for instance, there's certain creative agencies from my background. I grew up in traditional agencies, creative agencies, digitals agencies are somewhat new in the last 10 years. So we saw a big, you know, empty hole where a lot of these agencies, they didn't have a digital strategy or a digital team. Mm-hmm. So we started to realize, you know, wow, there's a big fit for us to know the agency model, which we already know, but then come in and say, look, here's the value proposition. Let us be your extended team for X, Y, and Z. So certain services we have that, like for your site, we would do, agencies have tons of clients like you that they can't even service correct or know how to staff the right team. So we kind of come in and educate them, build them up, and kind of build the environments that can help them, you know, have more wins for their clients, so to speak.
Gotcha. And when we started working with you, we were starting from scratch, like you just mentioned. Yep. Like, so we had this site, you know, it was fine for a long time. And this is one of those things where, you know, especially for new entrepreneurs who are just starting out, they think they need to have the fancy business cards and the fancy websites and all this other stuff. And that holds them back, you know, from really moving the business forward. So, you know, for guys, for everybody listening, this is a perfect example where you don't need that right away. Like we're 4.5 years in, and I finally, you know, took the website to the next level here. And this is both after frustration, you know, from me and my team in using it, and also from users saying, hey, you've got so much great content, especially on the podcast here, but I can't find it. You know, like, let's make it easier to find. So this wasn't something that I did right away. This was a process to get to. And we really designed this to focus on, number one, for conversion and ease of use. And then number two, so that people can find content. What does that process look like, Keith? So when you start working with somebody, or if somebody's thinking about redesigning their site, what does that process look like to be able to design something, you know, on their website for conversion? If they want people to come to the site and have, you know, an easy process, a great process, a user experience for people, in order to convert.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's our goal. Like, conversions should be the goal of every site, because we need to make the site work and function with the users that are coming to it. So it's always a challenge depending on who it is. So for instance, whether it's an influencer site, e-commerce sites are very easy to convert because obviously there's products that people can buy and they can engage and click, right? So with influencer sites, there's a lot of different tools, but, you know, content is king for those because people are coming there to learn something, to be educated. And then there's tons of different, you know, ways for call to actions to convert users, whether that be quizzes nowadays, LMS platform, learning management software. That's a big thing with influencer sites. So it really just kind of depends on where that brand is at. And like you said, a lot of people get that we see, they get overwhelmed in the build because they think they need it all. And the problem is, you can't really do that unless you have the proper team to do it all. So we try to really educate people, like, it's baby steps. And the biggest thing is you have to put content on your site to build your users. And then you start to roll out those features. It's just like, you know, for us, we look at it a lot like apps that are in the app store, or whether it be, you know, products that are out, they're always rolling out features for their users. And we try to educate people, like, phase your site out, take your time, build your audience. And then as you curate that, I don't think you'll ever know your audience fully. I think we're always growing and learning because people are changing and technology's changing, but it's good to kind of like keep that game going for them. So they're being entertained and kind of like you said, we're converting people more and more and figuring out better ways to convert them and better experiences to convert them. You know what I mean?
For sure. And I know that you're a big believer in, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that you're not a big believer in like this button color needs to be X, or it needs to be this shape, or it needs to be in this place on the site when it comes to designing for conversion. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We obviously for years, especially when we first started off, we had a lot of experiencers that were like, red means this, green means that. And you know, I always did it because I was told, but I'm a big believer in like, all right, well, is that just like we're taking, you know, traffic lights and making them into UX, you know, experiences? Right. So it was always interesting to me to where it's like, we have the power to control what colors we want people to like experience through the UI. And I think it's more or less like when somebody does a logo, you're building an experience to make them understand the life or the culture of that brand. It's the same thing with user interface. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people will argue and say, what's your A-B testing like? What's that? And that's stuff you can do, but you can still A-B test an orange button through seven different pages for success rates if your UI is done right, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just like, I'm a real big stickler on like branding the UI and making it match the brand. And I think like this is a new trend that is hitting more and more, whether people claim it or what. But I just think like user interfaces should have a branding experience as well as user experiences should have a branded experience. So what I mean by that is if you have orange buttons that mean click, you know, they're clickable, make all of those that. Don't change the interface. Don't change the UX of it. Let's kind of onboard those people to understand this button means to be clicked. Mm-hmm. This color maybe means as a background color. And I think we have to learn ways to train the users through building the interface. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm thinking about the experience that we had because I know that Skylar on my team who was working with you on this, when we first started working, I was thinking about that the button colors. And yep. I know that there was that education in that as far as what you just said back, you know, you were sharing that with us. And it made total sense once we understood it from your perspective. And we're certainly looking at, you know, you as the expert and when it comes to this stuff. Now, we also came to you with a brand board, meaning we had colors, you know, for the rebrand. We had a new logo. We had fonts and all that other stuff. Does that play into what you're talking about here? Meaning,
yes.
Do people come to you generally with brand boards, if you will, already done? Or are you working with them, you know, to develop that? Thus, you're using that in the site design.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, again, we will do soup to nuts projects that, you know, have a brand that we have to build into it. But then there's also people, obviously, that have brands and you know, brand guidelines that they're like, we have this and we want to build a site that incorporates that. So
this
I think either.
Work.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. Either way, it works. I mean, the only time it doesn't work is if it's bad, if it's not done right. And then that can be a little painful because it's a reflection of who we are as a company, whatever we build. So we have to be sure, okay, is this going to be able to be a good experience throughout a whole website, you know?
Yeah.
And that can be touchy too, because certain people, you know, they're so attracted and they love a certain part of it, but it's like, it's hard for them to kind of like, get the, oh, this isn't really that good.
Yeah. They have to get off they're kind of married to the concept.
Yeah. And like with you guys, for instance, you came with a proper brand. I mean, the brand looked great. It was relevant. You could tell it was good typography, good color. Mm-hmm. And you guys had a lot of like primary and secondary colors. And I remember going through that with you guys and we had a lot of choices, right? We were like, well, what do you think of this color combination? What do you think of that color combination? And I think that's what I was getting at, where it's like, we have a big palette to work with to make certain experiences that are clickable, certain color palettes. And what we tried to train and deliver for you guys was, if we're going to choose these colors, let's choose them for all of these items.
Sure. That makes sense. So you mentioned there, you know, when we're talking about designing for conversion and you are thinking about e-commerce, it's pretty straightforward. There's a product, you know, product or products that are right there that people can, you know, can purchase. But when we're referring to like an influencer type site where, you know, we do want conversion there, the whole goal of it is to, is for conversion. Let's just say, you mentioned before, there's quizzes like we have on our site now, you know, there's opt-ins or whatever, obviously. What are some of those for, from an influencer's type of site perspective, what are some strategies there for increasing that conversion?
Yeah, that's great. I think, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of the influencer sites we work with, they have a category of topics that they want to talk about. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll try to use like, we call them call to action modules within those areas. Now, you can have it just be sign up for a newsletter. It can be take a quiz, but basically you're trying to capture that email. And, you know, so it really just depends on what that person's users look like and what we maybe can train them on or what they desire them to be trained on. Because here's an example, right? If the client that we're working with doesn't have enough users, it's going to be hard for us to say, hey, let's do a learning management software that we can get people to sign up and they get 5 free courses. And then, you know, we bill their credit card X for the next 6 months for a package because they don't have any users yet. So a lot of times what we'll have to do is maybe have blog posts that have call to actions in them that say, you know, sign up today and we'll give you a free PDF on how to be the best at X. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have to kind of like slowly build those emails over time to convert these users into being users forever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it can be quizzes. A lot of times, it, you know, just to start, to be honest, it's like, you know, signing up for like getting more content through those categories or blogs, whatever you want to call them. We've seen a big influx in business for the learning management softwares because
What does that mean exactly?
Basically, it's called LMS as a software. WordPress has a couple plugins that we'll use for it. But you can basically get your courses on there and like have people sign up on, you know, a monthly billing cycle. And then you're basically doing courses for people. So maybe it's a late, yeah, all through your site. And maybe it's for cooking. Maybe it's for, you know, self-help. Could be for Facebook advertising, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a good conversion tool because it locks people in for a certain length of time. But it's also like a commerce thing, you know, it's a transactional approach to converting and making money on your site, because that's the thing. A lot of these people have these great ideas for influencer sites, but how are they going to make money?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we kind of want to let people know. It's great that you want to put all this content out, but what kind of advertising or LMS software, like what's the 5-year plan for you to actually make this money back? Mm-hmm. Because the last thing we want is somebody to say, our site's beautiful, but it's not really doing what we thought. And it's like, well, we need to kind of put that into the equation, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, one thing that we did really well, I think we did really, I mean, I love the new site. I mean, I'm so happy with it. It's a lot easier to navigate. You know, stuff is we have highlighted what we want to highlight first and foremost, like the quiz, for example. When you come right to the site, we have our, you know, our Facebook ads superhero superpower quiz, which I think is a lot of fun. We have that front and center. We have the podcast is front and center. We have, you know, the courses and programs front and center. When you think about building a site like that, I know that you built this, I think it's called modular development.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Share a little bit about that, because one thing I love about that is that, like, we as a team, like Skylar from my team, can go in there and just update stuff herself. You know, yeah. She's not tied to, hey, Keith, we need to do this, or we want to just update this little thing. And, you know, we're not handcuffed to having to go to you guys to do that. Tell us a little bit more about that, because not only does it make it a cool user experience for people coming to the site, but for as a user of the site, it makes it great and super easy for us.
Yeah. You know, we've been building, you know, in WordPress for, I mean, gosh, it's been probably like 10 years. Back in the day, you used to have what they call the WYSIWYG. I mean, there's tons of names for it, but it was a content kind of like module on the back end that people would have to like either hard code into or like build their posts into. And it was very limiting and, you know, hard. So a lot of the sites we were building, you know, people couldn't really update the way they needed to. And I remember being so frustrated because I was like, this is a content management system. So we're building with this platform because we want people to have the power of updating their website. So
yeah.
A little back history. When I worked for, you know, traditional agencies and we did websites, you didn't have CMS, you know, capabilities. So the client was always handcuffed to the agency. And that was a very frustrating process that I saw firsthand with a lot of clients, because they spend all this money for this website and then they're stuck to, you know, hey, I can't change my phone number on the website. Can you do it? And it's a bill of change, you know? So I remember when WordPress really started to like transform, it's just like the light bulb went off. But in saying that, over those first 5 years doing it, it still was rough for us to like really build in and build so the client could update it. So long story short, I started to really like look at the way we were building websites, and I started to notice a lot of patterns, and I started to notice a lot of like UX patterns, and headers were staying the same for the year. You'd see the blog post, 10 best responsive websites for 2014. And I started to just really like go through the season of everything is the same for certain seasons, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So long story short, I went to the team and I was like, hey, we're running into a lot of issues with like having to reinvent the wheel every site. And the reality is most of the stuff is always the same.
Yeah.
So I was like, why don't we come up with a different approach and like start building sites smarter and thinking about what modules all sites kind of share, and then start pitching that to the clients that we're working with. And I was like, there's two benefits to that. We're going to save ourselves time and we're going to save our clients money. Now, that was my big thing back then, where if you looked at a site and you looked at it from, we have 18 pages to develop and design, right away, you're like, that's going to be really expensive.
Yeah.
You know? So we ran into that a lot where people just didn't have it. We were having to cut corners, maybe lose profit. So my whole thing was, let's take the pages and the sitemap and have it there. But I was like, let's think about what global modules we can share throughout and start to educate people on, let's build the right experiences and not the right pages. So anyway, when we built your site, we kind of just used that method that we've been doing for the last couple of years, where we looked at the site from a whole and we said, here's your content, here's your sitemap. What modules do we need to build that we can reuse throughout and then build the site that way? And the amazing thing that that does is it allows us to basically develop in the admin in WordPress CMS. We use a tool called Advanced Custom Fields, and we're able to build modularly and make it flexible for you guys to be able to update on the fly. The cool thing about flexible modules is, let's say you have a page with five modules. You can say, I want this module that's on the bottom of the page to be on the top. And you just do that in the admin. So you can drag and drop as you go.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And one thing we really like about that, again, is it's a new site. And, you know, it's good to be able to be flexible like that to understand what users like and don't like. We think it's like the future of A/B testing for a lot of our clients, because they're able to go into their analytics and say, wow, this page did great with the modules this way, you know, this month or this quarter. Let's try to add a new one in, or let's try to like flip-flop this one, and then you can judge it again. So we just see a lot of flexibility and like the light bulb going off in the client's head to where they're like, oh, I can add, you know, this module or that page. And it's like, yeah, because we thought through the modules throughout a global sitemap.
Yeah, it's super easy to, you know, yeah. Oh, we have a new course or we have a new program or whatever it might mm-hmm. be. We have a new announcement or something. We can just, you know, add that, as you put it, like that little module in there. It's just super yep. easy to do. Now, you mentioned like tracking the progress. Where does heat mapping come into all this? Because I know that this is something that we're doing, and I actually haven't looked at it yet. I'm really curious to do it, is to see, you know, with heat mapping, obviously, for everybody listening that doesn't know what heat mapping is, you can see where people are interacting with a site, where they're resting the cursor, where they're clicking, et cetera. Does heat mapping come into this for you as far as figuring out where, or, you know, from like a modular perspective, like where things are on the page?
Yeah. And, you know, and I think it does. We haven't really done a lot of heat mapping with most clients. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think in the future we will. Like, there's a certain job we're about to land now, and they're actually doing, this is where I think, you know, the web is very exciting right now. They're doing heat mapping on their old site, and they have very good conversion on some things, but they want to update it. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have to like then redesign to that look, because they're like, hey, it still works. We just want it to look better.
Gotcha. Interesting.
So yeah, we haven't really done too much with that, but I think, you know, with the module, like I was saying, it's a win-win, because then you can replicate that experience with those same modules on other pages that you can build, you know, in different courses or whatever material you have.
And really easily.
Easily. Exactly.
Now I want to go back to something that you said earlier about target audience and the role that understanding your target audience plays in your site's design. And so what is that, you know, if someone is looking to like, you know what, I want to update, you know, I need to update my site, or, you know, it's time to, you know, blow everything up like I did and start fresh. What does that process look like? What role does, you know, understanding your target audience play in all this?
Yeah. There's kind of two answers to that. There's the people that have the great idea and they don't have the target audience yet, but they know the target audience that they kind of want to appeal to. And a lot of times with those startups, if you want to call it, or new brands, we kind of study trends from other brands that are doing it well, that they want to, I don't want to say copy, but be like. Mm-hmm. I think we all have like those heroes of businesses, just like we did when we were kids, that, you know, we're like, hey, we want to build a target audience like this, or we want to be like this. And so a lot of times we just kind of go through, we call it mood boarding phases and market research with our clients, and basically study like, this is the outfit of a target audience that they want to go after, and this is what the aesthetic, conversion points, whatever it may be, then we try to build to that. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, the other people who already have the target audience. They've had a website for years. Maybe they need to update it, but we still kind of have to redefine those groups or targets that they have and build to it. Because the interesting thing is, there can be like, I feel like sometimes in the tech industry, there can be like three different target audiences, sometimes by age groups, right? There could be, you know, a 16 to 20 year old person that uses this app, but then there's also a middle-aged person and an older person. Like, for instance, we worked with Weatherbug for around 3 years. Mm-hmm. And we redid all of their, you know, Android, iOS website. It was a big task, and they had a huge target audience that they had to manage and upkeep. And I remember that being really challenging, because I was like, well, which one do we design for? You know, mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we have to like cater to them all. So we have to kind of dumb the experiences down to X, Y, and Z. And I remember thinking like, man, I like the startup people better, because it was so much easier for us to say, this is our goal. Let's go get it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, but no, it definitely does. It definitely does. Yeah. It just talks about the importance of, you know, as we talk about here in the show all the time, whether, you know, not necessarily about, you know, website design and user experience, but like, you've got to understand your target audience, you know,
from yes.
Whenever you're marketing, you got to understand your target audience so that you can be serving them in the best way possible. Now, one thing that we were faced with our old site, and I'm going to share this right here on the podcast with everybody listening. I'm embarrassed to share it, but our load time was like between 11 and 13 seconds. Yeah. It was really bad. And, you know, guys, when you're running Facebook ads, this is something that really plays into your relevance score, all these different types of things. Because if it's a bad experience when somebody clicks on your ad, for example, and goes to your website and it's taking that long to load, what are they going to do? They're going to click the back button. Yep. And Facebook looks at all that stuff. And so, you know, one thing that was a big goal of this new site was to speed it up. And we've done a really good job with that. What are some, and Keith, you can share what you found on our old site, but what are some strategies for speeding up your website?
Yeah. You know, the cool thing is there's tons of free tools out there. Google has a couple. gosh, I think GoDaddy has a speed tester. There's a couple. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my developers, they kind of chuckle at it because they're like, you know, it's kind of like their conversion tool for us to use so that they can, you know, get our info as well. But it does help. Like Google's can, you know, speed tests for sites are great. And it tells like a lot of like techie geeky stuff, like maybe somebody didn't have an SSL for their site and like certain providers request that.
Yeah.
But a lot of it boils down to hosting. People don't realize that shared hosting is a very slow, you know, provider for a website, because you got to think of it. If you're on a shared hosting plan with whatever it may be, everybody is kind of like milking that plan together because it's cheaper, right?
Yeah.
So what we try to do is we've partnered with WP Engine, that we try to like sell them for everything, because they will have like unshared plans that you can do. And we've just seen it dramatically increase speed for people. And, you know, a lot of the people, they'll say, well, I don't want to pay the extra money. And for us, we're not trying to like resell hosting. We just want a site that's quick too, because sure. We don't want people clicking the back arrow.
Yeah.
So like, that's where we start usually. Like, what's your hosting? What's your plan? Let us investigate that. A lot of times it's optimizing images and video.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Like, you'd be surprised. We've had people say, hey, our website's real slow, and they maybe had an intern working on the site, and like somebody accidentally uploaded like, you know, PSD files for the image into the admin. And we're just like, well, I mean, what do you expect? You have a 6 gig file on your website.
That was a problem for us. Not 6 gig files, guys, but we had like, this was definitely a challenge for us right here.
Yeah. And you know, the cool thing is, two tools that I would recommend is compress JPEG and then compress PNG. If you just Google search those, it's a free website that you take your images after you save them. And even if they're like compressed already, we always kind of educate our clients as well as our internal team for our site. Let's throw those in again. And the cool thing is, I used to be really hard on our team because they would compress after I would compress, and I would like compare. And I'm like, this file is destroyed. Like, it's pixelated, it's grainy. Like, I understand we want high performance and speed tests, but I don't want bad images on our stuff. So push come to shove, I found some of these tools, and those are the best ones out there. Like, you can have a 1 megabyte image and run it through compressed JPEG, and it'll be like 300 kilobytes, and compare both of them, you can't even tell.
Oh, wow. Okay. Compressed JPEG.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's
compressed JPEG, and what was the other one?
Compressed PNG. So basically, okay, like if you have a PNG or a JPEG, whatever it may be, they have two different sites that they compress through. So back to it, though, you know, like I said, hosting and images, or you know, media not being compressed. Those are two of the, believe it or not, the biggest things we see issues with.
What about plugins? Because we had like
plugins.
You saw the number of plugins, and I remember you asked us, you're like, is this like, is this real?
Yeah.
Because I think we had like 40 plugins.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Plugins will slow your site down, but it just depends on which ones. Like,
okay,
they're doing the same thing. I mean, the whole loophole is you download the plugin, it unzips, and it basically loads into your WordPress template, right? So depending on what that plugin is and what it's doing, obviously it's going to have, you know, higher file size than others. And, but yeah, 40 plugins, whatever. For us, it's like, we just have to come in and kind of evaluate, do we really need that many? Cause
yeah,
you know, it can slow your site down a bit, but it also can be damaging, because if you don't have to update some of those or whatever, and you forget, it could screw your website up if you're not careful as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what we've run into is we're still working through that, because there are so many plugins that we were able to, you know, safely delete a lot of them, but there was still a lot that we had there that we're kind of going back and forth of, you know, the usability of these, and do we need these things? Is it going to break anything further? And that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
But I think a big lesson here is, you know, we did experience a huge increase in site speed. And that was definitely one of the goals from the get-go, is that, look, like, it's taken way too long for the existing site, because it was built on like all different, like I had different people working on it over years. And like, I didn't know any of these best practices to tell people. And so they were just kind of going in there and doing it. And, you know, like I said, it was fine for a while, but it was time to make some upgrades to it. So Keith, as we start to wrap up here, I want to give people some suggestions on what to look for when they're hiring a designer. So if they're looking to, you know, do a redesign on their site or, you know, upgrade some things, what are some things that maybe like a little checklist, if you will, that they can kind of think about when they're interviewing and looking at people or agencies or companies or whatever to do this sort of thing for them?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, taking myself out of my position and putting myself in somebody who wants to work with some company, obviously the big thing is, what does that relationship look like? You know, websites can be a process, and it's important that you have responsible individuals, relatable individuals, and people that you can feel you can trust, because I think you're going to be talking with them daily, weekly, and it's important that that communication can be really, you know, intimate, so to speak, because you're going to need that in that relationship for the project as well as for future things in the project. The second thing I would look for is, what work have they done? Now, you know, for instance, certain people, even for us, there'll be times when it's a project that maybe we haven't done something like it, but we've done work in the realm of it. Does that make sense?
Sure. Sure. Yep.
So, you know, it's not to say that I think it's wrong if somebody's like, hey, you haven't done an influencer site, well, then it's not a good fit. I'd say it's like, does their work like resonate with you? Does it look good? Does it function well? Do your homework on that stuff, because that goes a long way that I think can't be overlooked. You know, sure. if you're super good at something and your work doesn't show, it's kind of a red flag.
Yeah, absolutely. But
those two things I necessarily think are a recipe to a great experience with whoever you pick. Because like I said, it is an ongoing relationship, and you want to pay for something that you feel like you like, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And we found you guys through a recommendation from my good friend, Patty Palmer, who has an amazing membership site and everything. He'd done some good work for her. So she was like, oh, definitely got to check out, you know, what at that time it was Harbor. So what the guys at Harbor are doing. And you know, we had interviewed a few people, and Skylar on my team was leading this project for us. And she, you know, immediately hung up with you guys and was like, this is it right here.
Cool.
Just feeling really comfortable, as you mentioned there in your first point, your first suggestion there, that's what we felt coming off of that call. And, you know, obviously we looked at the work that you'd done prior to that call. So we kind of had that second step already kind of taken care of. And then when she got off the call, she was like, oh yeah, like just connected with you guys, liked the process that you laid out and everything like that. So Keith, this has been really, really helpful. I know that we've had such a great experience, and we feel like the new site is really set up and designed for conversion. And like you mentioned right at the get-go, like rolling things out slowly, like we're still going to continue to evolve this. I mean, there's still more things that we want to do. So we just kind of prioritize what we want to focus on first and foremost in the redesign, tackle that. And also you've been great at giving us suggestions, like giving, you know, we're kind of letting you know, like, hey, these are the types of things that we want to do. And it's like, okay, well, let's prioritize it this way. And then, you know, just roll something out. Like just as a simple example for everybody listening is like, we just added a search feature, you know, to the site. Like we didn't roll it out with that search feature. We kind of wanted to see, you know, what we want to get out the priorities, you know, and we wanted to kind of see how we felt about it and just sort of let things settle a little bit before we started adding stuff. So in this whole idea of rolling things out slowly, I think is a really important one. Keith, I want to make sure that people can connect with you and learn more about what you guys are doing. If they, you know, want to get some ideas or want to talk about, you know, anything that any products that they're working on, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah. So, I mean, our big one is our site, and that has a couple onboard ideas of whether you want to partner with us, just say, hey, but if you go to sister.agency, It's not .com or .co. It's actually .agency. So we kind of parked on that domain.
Cool.
And we're pretty active on Instagram. And if you go to sister.agency as well on there, you can keep up with us.
Sister.agency. Okay.
Yep. And our Facebook is Your Sister Agency. And those are kind of the channels that we promote to as of now. Obviously, new stuff out all the time. So just keep up with us through our site and we'll add those.
Awesome. So sister.agency, same thing on Instagram, and then Your Sister Agency on Facebook.
Correct.
Got it. Keith, this has been really, really helpful. I appreciate you coming on and sharing this all this information with everybody. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Rick. Appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
All right. Hope you took a lot away from this discussion here with Keith today. Now, before we wrap up, I want you to become a Facebook ads superhero. And that starts with knowing what your Facebook ads superpower is. And I put together a really fun short quiz for you, literally take you like 30 seconds, that will help you find your particular superhero superpower when it comes to Facebook ads. And then once you determine what that superpower is, I give you a step-by-step how you can best take advantage of that superpower to more quickly get better results with your Facebook ads and in your business. So to take the quiz, just go to rickmulready.com/quiz. Again, it's rickmulready.com/quiz. And when you take the quiz, I'd love to hear what your results are. Shoot me a message on Instagram. I'm at Rick Mulready, or shoot me a message on Facebook. Let me know what your results are. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. Really appreciate it. If you're enjoying the show and you'd like to support it, please share it with somebody that you think will find it helpful for them. And if you've not yet left an honest rating review for the show over on iTunes, I would very much appreciate you doing that. It's a big help for the show. It only takes a second to do it. And thanks a lot in advance for doing those things. Really appreciate it. And again, thank you for listening to the show today. Got another awesome episode coming your way. In the next episode, we're going to be talking with Brandon Lucero, who has been a previous guest here on the show, good friend of mine. And we're going to be talking about a really, really cool subject, that he calls thought reversal, and how to use thought reversal in your videos, in your marketing, so that you can be attracting the ideal customers to your business and through your marketing channels. So until then, my friends, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.